you that your word is medicine to our flesh. We believe that, Lord. These very words that we speak tonight will be like taking a dose of the most powerful, wonderful medication to heal our bodies. Thank you, Lord. And there's no side effects, and we can't overdose. Hallelujah. We receive it. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Let's get our spotlights aren't on. Well, let's have your good. There comes your good. We had his bad, now we got his good. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. We're in our series. I don't know if I announced the title of the series last week, but we're talking about healing. But the title of the series is Healing Belongs to Us. Might do you some good just to say that. Say, healing belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. Amen. Praise God. And tonight, the message is 7 reasons why your healing is guaranteed. 7 reasons why your healing is guaranteed. I've heard messages before and I've preached them before. You know, 4 reasons why people don't get healed, or 5 reasons why people don't get healed. And I thought one day, we should focus on the positive. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with looking at the reasons why people don't, because you have to examine those sometimes to correct things in your life, to correct the way you're believing or speaking or whatever it may be. But let's look at it from the positive side. 7 reasons why your healing is guaranteed. Glory. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:35 is where we're going to start tonight. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Hallelujah. So the purpose of this message tonight is to build your confidence. Amen. Hallelujah. It's to build your confidence in God's word, to build your confidence in God's healing power, to build your confidence in God's goodness. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. The Message Bible says, so don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then, it's still a sure thing. Oh, wow. But you need to stick it out. Oh, wow. Turn to your neighbor and say, stick it out. Stick it out. Yeah. Not your tongue. But you need to stick it out. Staying with God's plan. So you'll be there for the promised completion. Wow. That's what we're going to do. Amen. We're going to stick it out. We're going to stay with God's plan. So we'll be there for the promised completion. Praise God. So if you're believing and you're healing, it seems slow in coming, don't give up. Don't be condemned. This is to fortify you. Amen. That you'll always be assured that healing is yours. That you'll always boldly claim healing without hesitation. That's what I want you to be able to do, is to be able to claim your healing without hesitation, without having to wonder and say, well, is it really God's will? Well, would God really do it for me? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're going to look at 7 reasons why you can and should and must be healed. 7 reasons why your healing is guaranteed. So reason number one, you might want to write these down. Reason number one is this. God is not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. All right. Write it off. I'll say it again. God is not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. Amen. He's not withholding. Amen. You're not having to try to talk God into the notion of healing you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right. He wants you well as much or more than you want to be well.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Matthew 8, verse 1. I love the 8th chapter of Matthew. It's so full of great healing truths. Matthew 8, verse 1, it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Amen. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What did Jesus say? What did he say? I'm willing. I'm willing. And you know what Jesus is saying today to you? I am willing. I am willing. Amen. Praise God. Now, Now, Matthew 8, verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, I went to Capernaum when I was in Israel back last November. And that was where Jesus had his headquarters, a beautiful little town on the Sea of Galilee. But a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, what? I will come and heal him. I will come. I will come and heal him. So Jesus is not, God's not withholding. Jesus is eager, ready, and willing. He said, I will come. I will come. Praise God. Verse 14 of Matthew 8. We'll just stay in Matthew 8 for a minute. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. So immediately he comes in, and Peter's mother-in-law is lying there sick with a fever. So he touches her hand. What's he doing? He's trying to get healing to people. Yeah. He's not withholding.
Right.
He's not saying, oh, you know, if you jump through enough hoops, I might think about it. God is not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. Amen. Praise God. That's reason number one. Reason number two is this. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, your healing has been purchased. It is finished. It is finished. Hallelujah. This is another reason why your healing is guaranteed. Jesus has already purchased your healing. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, your healing has been purchased. It is finished. In fact, that's what Jesus said on the cross, wasn't it? It's finished. Glory to God. He might as well have said, devil, you're finished.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It looked like Jesus was finished when Jesus said it is finished. But what was finished was redemption, our healing, our salvation. Amen. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely, surely, amen. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, in the literal Hebrew, it's sicknesses and pains. And this is what we're going to look at Matthew 8, 16 and 17 in a few moments here. And this is the verse from Isaiah that Matthew is quoting relative to people receiving their physical healing. So surely Jesus did bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. Thank God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And we have, and as a result, we have His comfort in our lives. We don't have to go through life in sorrow and in grieving. Amen. He bore it. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows so we could have a happy life.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that, that's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But He also, that word, those words also mean sicknesses and pains. Surely He did. That's a sure thing.
Yes.
It's a sure thing. He didn't say maybe He has borne our griefs and perhaps He carried our sorrows. He didn't say maybe He's borne our sicknesses and hopefully He carried our pains. He said surely.
Surely.
It's a sure thing.
Absolutely.
Our healing is guaranteed.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Surely He has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. That's our full redemption right there. Amen. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace was on Him. And that the word peace there is shalom, and it doesn't mean just peace of mind. It includes that, but it means wholeness, soundness, nothing missing, nothing broken. It means prosperity. Amen. So Jesus redeemed us from our sins, from our poverty and lack, and He redeemed us from sickness and disease. By His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's finished. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, your healing has already been purchased. It is finished. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Isaiah, that we just read there, Isaiah is looking forward 700 years to the cross. Peter is looking back a few years, a couple of decades, when he writes this, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Everybody say, you were healed. That's past tense, isn't it? That's done, isn't it? Hallelujah. Isaiah's looking forward and says, you are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Peter is looking back and he says, by whose stripes you were healed. It's done. Praise God. Now, again, I've pointed this out before, but some people argue about this and say, well, he's not talking about physical healing. He's talking about spiritual healing. Well, your spirit doesn't get healed. Your spirit gets recreated. We become a new creation in Christ. We don't. The Bible doesn't say in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a healed creation. It says he's a new creation. Amen. It says old things have passed away and all things have become new. It didn't say old things have been patched up. Amen. But old things have passed away and all things have become new. So our spirit doesn't get healed. Our spirit gets reborn. Now, there's a healing of the soul, a restoration of the soul that can take place. We understand that. That's our emotions. Our emotions can get healed and restored. But this is talking about physical healing. And Matthew 8 bears that out. Matthew 8, 16, when evening had come. So this is right after he healed. We looked at him, the account where Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And this is the very next verse after he heals Peter's mother-in-law. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Who did he heal?
All
who were sick indiscriminately. He didn't say, well, I'm sorry, you over there. No, I'm not going to heal you. He healed all who were sick. Amen. That it might, why did he do it? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And Matthew is quoting Isaiah 53:4, that we're in the King James and New King James, it says griefs and sorrows. But Matthew translates it, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to be infirmities and sicknesses. And he says this was a fulfillment of Jesus, what Jesus would do, or what Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would do. He took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Well, Isaiah is looking forward to the cross when he says that. Peter is looking back to the cross when he says, by his stripes you were healed. Where's Jesus at? Well, Jesus really hasn't done this yet. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. But yet he's pulling out his Holy Ghost MasterCard, the Master Over Sickness and Disease card, and he's saying, I'm going to go ahead and take care of your healing, and I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it on the cross. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And he did. He did. Amen. Praise God. All right. That's reason number two. And then reason number three is this. Healing is a mercy. It's a mercy. It is a free gift. It is not earned. Therefore, your healing is guaranteed. Amen. You can't earn it. If it's earned, then you know, most of us are going to come short, aren't we? Or at least we're going to think that. Amen. Well, it's not earned. It's a gift. It's a gift. Amen. Healing is a mercy. It is a free gift. It is not earned. Amen. Eternal life is a gift, isn't it? Every blessing in redemption is a gift. We don't earn it.
Amen.
We simply receive it by faith. We simply say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I didn't earn this. I didn't deserve it. But you decided you wanted to give it to me. And I'm going to agree with you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Amen. Healing is a mercy. It's a free gift. It is not earned. Matthew 14:14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. You know, if you think about it, in that multitude, there had to be all kinds of different people, right?
Yes.
I mean, there had to be people that were morally good and people that morally were a bit challenged. We'll say it that way. It'll be nice and say, morally challenged, you know. There were the righteous and the unrighteous. And, but Jesus healed them all. He saw their suffering and their affliction. And He had mercy on them and compassion on them. And He healed them all.
Amen.
He healed them all. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. He was moved with compassion for them and He healed their sick. Mark chapter 10 tells us the story of Bartimaeus. In verse 46, it says, "Now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David,'" what? "'Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'"
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Hallelujah. Bartimaeus' cry for mercy stopped Jesus in His tracks. Bartimaeus' cry for mercy called Jesus to stand still and to hearken to that cry. And you know, He's not changed. When we appeal to His mercy, when we appeal to His mercy, He still stands still.
Thank you, Lord.
Today.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And He hearkens to our cry.
Thank you, Lord.
He hearkens to your cry when you ask Him for mercy.
Thank you.
Amen. We don't take advantage of that near enough.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Look at what it says. And he was required to. He was bound to. Not that he didn't want to, but he was bound by His word to, because He is God, right? He's God manifested in the flesh. And this is what the word says about God in Psalm 86, verse 5. It says, "For You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive." Oh, I like that. Isn't that great? God is ready to forgive. Well, what's He waiting on? Yeah, He's waiting on us to ask Him. He's waiting on us to ask Him and to say, "Father, I've sinned. Father, I've missed it. Father, forgive me." He's ready to forgive. He's like the father in the story of the prodigal son. He's just waiting for the son to turn his heart toward home. And he's standing there, and when he starts coming down the half-mile driveway, he sees him way down there. "That's my son. He's coming home." He's ready. He's standing out there. He probably went out there every day. I don't know how long the son was gone, but the father went out there every day thinking, "Today is going to be the day that my son turns his heart back toward home and comes home. Today is going to be the..." He was ready to forgive. He was ready to forgive. He didn't stand out there saying, "Well, that rascal going to come back. I'm gonna beat his rear end." And no, he was waiting to show mercy on his son. And that's what that's the heart of our Heavenly Father. It's the heart of the Lord. You, Lord, let's keep it up there. I'm not done with that yet. You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy.
Yes.
Abundant in mercy. What does that mean? It means He's got an endless supply.
Amen.
Abundant in mercy to who? All those who call upon You. So Jesus, when Bartimaeus cried out and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," Jesus had no choice.
Right.
That is who He is. That is His nature. He's abundant in mercy to all who call upon You.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. That's His heart. Well, what happened to Bartimaeus? Well, Mark 10:52, Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So what was Bartimaeus' faith in? It's faith in the Son of God, faith in His mercy. It was faith in His mercy. That's what we should put our faith in. We should put our faith in God's mercy. Put your faith in His mercy. Amen? Hallelujah. Because he's abundant in mercy. His mercy is everlasting. Amen? Praise God. Reason number 4 is this. Reason number four, the promise, which includes healing, is sure to all the seed. Your healing is guaranteed because the Bible says the promise is sure to all the seed.
Yeah.
And you're one of the seed.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Galatians, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed.
Amen.
And heirs according to the promise.
Amen.
Amen. So Romans 4:16 says this, therefore, it is a faith. And Paul is making the argument here that we get in on all of this, on all the blessings of salvation, all the blessings of redemption, all the blessings of knowing God and being in His family and being in His kingdom. We get in on it through faith, not through the law, but through faith. And he says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace. Look at this. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise might be sure. What does that mean when it says the promise might be sure? It means guaranteed, right?
Amen.
Another way to say the promise might be sure is to say that the promise is guaranteed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. That's us. Who is the father of us all. Well, how did Abraham operate? Well, Paul goes on in verse 19 of Romans 4 and tells us, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. I love this passage. It says, I heard my pastor years ago said, if you want to know, it talks about weak faith here, not being weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said, if you want to know what weak faith is, take out the knots, okay? And being weak in faith, he did consider his own body already dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's weak faith. We'll be weak in faith if we consider the circumstances.
Yeah.
If our eyes are focused on the circumstances.
Yeah.
If Abraham's eyes had been focused on his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, she wasn't able to conceive when she was 25, much less now when she's 90, right? But he didn't look at that. It says he did not waver at the promise of God. See, God had given him a promise. And instead of focusing on his own body and the deadness of Sarah's womb, and on the circumstances, he chose to focus solely on the promise of God. Why? Because the promise is sure to all the seed.
Yes, amen.
The promise is God's promise. Healing is a part of God's promise to us. And that promise is sure because God's promised it.
Thank you.
Amen. Just because He's promised it, it's sure.
Yes,
it's sure to all the seed.
Yes.
Amen. And so we can be like Abraham. We can do what Abraham did and not consider our own body and not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But it says, but he was strengthened in faith. How was he strengthened in faith? If you want to know how to strengthen your faith, this is it right here. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise. One of the things about praise is praising God will strengthen your faith. Praising God will strengthen your faith. Praising God gets your eyes off of you and off your circumstances and onto God. Amen. Giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Amen. Has God given you a promise? Is healing in that promise? Do you believe God's able to perform that in your body? Amen. That's strong faith. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So that's reason number four. The promise, which includes healing, is sure to all the seed. All right? Reason number five is this. Reason number five. The Holy Spirit who lives in you will quicken your body. The Holy Spirit who lives in you will quicken your body. Praise God. Romans 8, verse 11, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God, we need, again, that is a truth, a reality that we need to ever be conscious of, that it's easy to lose sight of. It's easy walking around in this natural world and in the physical world to lose sight of the fact that the Spirit of God lives in us. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus. By the way, it's the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the Spirit that lives in you. And that's the point he's making. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. In fact, that's what the New King James and the King James says. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Not a knockoff.
That's right.
Not a made in China version.
No, that's right.
Amen. No. Not even made in the USA, as good as that is. Made right in heaven. Made right in heaven. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. What a great healing promise that is. What a great healing promise to claim on a daily basis. When you get up, the Spirit of God lives in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And He's given life to this mortal body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, well, isn't that after we die and we're up in heaven? No, you won't have a mortal body. Then you'll have a glorified body. He gives life to your mortal body. Some people say, well, this is talking about the resurrection. Well, it is. But my goodness, he will quicken our bodies at the resurrection. But my goodness, while he's in there, let's take advantage of him and let's let that life flow out from the Spirit of God living in us and heal our bodies. Amen. Glory to God. Acknowledge that. Believe that. Praise God. Amen. Reason number six is this. Jesus authorized us to do the works that He did. And that includes healing the sick. Jesus authorized us to do the works that He did. And that includes healing the sick. John 14, 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Hallelujah. Notice he didn't say, you know, some people argue and say, well, yeah, there were miracles and healings in the book of Acts, but then when the last apostle died, that all died out. Well, that's not what Jesus said here. Jesus said anyone, not just the 12 apostles. He said anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. I must have given you the wrong. I must be reading the New Living, but that's good. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. But I like this version I've got. I didn't even make a note of it, so it must be the New Living. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Well, did he? Did Jesus go to be with the Father? Amen. He did, didn't he? Well, the rest of this must be true too then.
Yes. Amen.
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 Anyone who believes in Him will do the same works that He has done.
Amen.
And He says this in Mark 16:17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. Our healing is guaranteed because Jesus authorized us to do the works that He did.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
If He told us to go and lay hands on the sick and they would recover, and then He wasn't going to back that up, well, He would be deceptive in declaring that. Our healing is guaranteed.
Yeah.
Amen. Reason number seven, the last one here. Your healing is guaranteed because God is your loving Heavenly Father. Your healing is guaranteed because God is your loving Heavenly Father. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus said, ask and what? It will be given to you. It will be. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. I love the next phrase here, the first phrase of verse 8. For everyone who asks, receives. Oh, if we would only believe that. If we would only believe that. Amen. For everyone who asks, receives. Who receives? Everyone who will ask. Everyone who will ask. James says part of the problem is you have not because you ask not. But everyone who asks receives, Jesus said. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or, what man is there among you? He tries to get us to understand it even clearer as he continues. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who? My Father. Your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him. He said, you natural parents, if your son asks for bread, are you going to give him a rock? Are you going to give him a stone? What's the answer? No, you're going to give him bread, right? Hallelujah. If he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? No, you're going to give him a fish. You're going to give him rainbow trout. Grilled and lemon peppered. Amen. He said if you know how to give good gifts to your children, if you ask for healing from your Heavenly Father, is he going to give you something different?
No.
Amen. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Healing is a good thing.
Amen.
Pastor, it doesn't say healing right there. Well, I know it includes healing because I know healing is a good thing.
Amen.
Because Jesus, Acts 10:38, that we've looked at so many times, it says Jesus went about doing good and
healing.
Doing good and healing. Doing good and healing. Because healing is a good thing. Healing is doing good. Here's another scripture that proves that, bears that out as well. Luke chapter 6, verse 6. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to... To what? To what? To do good. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good? What does Jesus have in mind? What is Jesus fixing to do? He's fixing to heal the man. And he prefaces it by saying, is it lawful to do good? No, they were trying to accuse him. They were trying to say, we caught you. You're working on the Sabbath, breaking the law. But Jesus says, wait a minute. Let me ask you something, guys. Is it lawful to do good? The answer is yes. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath as he's getting ready to heal the man. So healing is doing good. Amen? Hallelujah. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. Hallelujah. So healing is a good thing. And everyone who asks receives. Praise God. And your loving Heavenly Father, your loving Heavenly Father gives good things Hallelujah. God is your loving Heavenly Father, and your healing is guaranteed because of that.
Thank you,
hallelujah. Amen. Remember when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and asked Him to heal her daughter, and Jesus said this in Matthew 15:26, it says, "But He answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" What is He talking about? What is he calling the children's bread? Healing, right? What did the woman ask for? Healing for her daughter. What Jesus, and Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, Jesus was getting her in a position to receive. My goodness, today we'd think that's the most offensive, you know, that's such an offensive statement. But Jesus was positioning her to receive her healing. But don't miss this point. The point is, healing is the children's bread.
Amen.
Are you one of the children?
Amen.
Amen. Well, healing belongs to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. I mean, you know, when we were raising our kids and they would, want some food, they had free access to the refrigerator, right? Isn't that the way it worked in your house? You didn't put a lock on the refrigerator. Yeah, no, they had free access to the refrigerator. They could get food out whenever they wanted. Amen. Healing is the children's bread. And that's the way. God doesn't put a lock on healing. God doesn't say, "I'm locking this up, and I'm going to just parse it out very judiciously, a little bit at a time." No, help yourself. He's saying, help yourself. Help yourself. You don't have to beg. Go help yourself. It belongs to you. It's yours. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a good thing, and He gives good things to those who ask Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Your healing is, there's seven reasons I've given us tonight why our healing is guaranteed. I'm going to just go through them quickly again, as we got a minute here. Reason number one, God's not trying to keep healing from you. He's interested in getting healing to you. He's not withholding. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, your healing has been purchased. It is finished. It's already done. It's already done. Amen. Reason number three, healing is a mercy. It's a free gift. It's not earned. What is reason number four? I've lost my place. Somebody tell me what reason four is. Yeah. The promise, which includes healing, is sure to all the seed. Amen. Reason number five, the Holy Spirit who lives in us will quicken our bodies. Reason number six, Jesus authorized us to do the works that He did, and that includes healing the sick. And reason seven, your healing is guaranteed because God is your loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's stand up and praise Him for our healing.